Salam sejahtera, anda bersama saya Rizal Zulkarpi dan ini perkembangan yang baru kami terima. Malaysia merekodkan 507,050 dos pemberian vaksin COVID-19 pada 22 Julai 2021 atau semalam. Jumlah itu adalah yang tertinggi setakat ini. Daripada jumlah itu, 335,000 adalah pemberian dos pertama, manakala dos kedua 171,000. Dan kami akan bawakan perkembangan tersebut dalam buletin-buletin awal yang akan datang. Kita teruskan dengan perkembangan saham di pasaran Asia Pasifik yang dibuka rendah pada Jumaat dengan pelabur memerhatikan saham berkaitan teknologi China di Hong Kong. Menurut laporan CNBC, ini selepas Bloomberg lapor China akan kenakan penalti ke atas syarikat ride-hailing Didi lebih besar daripada $2.8 bilion yang dikenakan ke atas Alibaba. CNBC menambah pada awal Julai, Didi dipaksa hentikan daftar pengguna baru dan dikeluarkan daripada App Store di China susulan dakwaan pengumpulan dan penggunaan data peribadi pengguna. Terdahulu, saham di pasaran New York mencatatkan peningkatan dalam penutup dagangan Khamis. Antara faktor pengaruhi pasaran adalah permohonan bantuan pengangguran yang meningkat di luar jangkaan kepada 419,000 minggu lepas. Namun, ini tidak menjejaskan sentimen pelabur dan peningkatan pengangguran berlaku di kawasan peningkatan kes baru COVID-19. Pada penutup, indeks Dow Jones naik 25 mata, S&P 500 naik 8 mata dan juga Nasdaq naik 52 mata. Seterusnya, Bank Pusat Eropah akan kekalkan kadar faedah rendah sehingga inflasi stabil pada sekitar 2% menurut Presiden Bank Pusat Eropah Christine Lagarde. Ini dengan risiko penularan varian Delta di rantau berkenaan.
Tambahnya, ia tidak akan hentikan rangsangan dan sokongan kepada ekonomi biarpun kadar inflasi melepasi sasaran 2% dalam tempoh peralihan ini.
The recovery in the euro area economy is on track. More and more people are getting vaccinated and lockdown restrictions have been eased in most euro area countries. But the pandemic continues to cast a shadow, especially as the Delta variant constitutes a growing source of uncertainty.
Bank Pusat Eropah dalam mesyuarat pada Khamis mengubah pendekatannya daripada inflasi bawah atau hampir 2% kepada membiarkannya lebih 2%. Kadar inflasi di 19 negara zon euro adalah sekitar 1.9% pada Jun tahun ke tahun. Namun didorong peningkatan harga minyak tinggi, inflasi teras tidak mengira minyak dan makanan hanyalah 0.9%. ECB tambahnya terus membeli bon kerajaan dan korporat sehingga Mac 2022 untuk memastikan kecairan yang cukup dalam pasaran dan kadar faedah kekal rendah. Kesatuan Eropah jangka ekonominya akan tumbuh 4.8% tahun ini berbanding pengecupan 6.5% tahun lepas.
Sementara itu, susulan kadar vaksinasi yang terlalu perlahan, pengarah Institut Vaksin Kebangsaan Thailand tampil mohon maaf kepada seluruh rakyat negara itu pada Rabu. Sekarang ini hanya 5% populasi Thailand sudah melengkapkan dua dos suntikan vaksin. Susulan itu, ketua institut tersebut Nakhon Premsri berjanji akan menyertai program COVAX WHO tahun depan untuk tingkatkan jumlah bekalan vaksin negara itu. Thailand sebelum ini enggan sertai program COVAX kerana dipercayai kos perjanjiannya yang tinggi. Nakhon pada masa sama mendakwa kekurangan bekalan vaksin berpunca daripada beberapa faktor termasuk varian baru COVID-19. Jelasnya, varian baru menyebabkan kadar jangkitan melonjak sehingga institut berkenaan tidak mampu menyediakan jumlah dos vaksin yang mencukupi. Thailand pada Khamis merekodkan lebih 13,000 kes baru sekaligus mencatatkan jumlah kes harian tertinggi untuk dua hari berturut-turut. Dan seterusnya, Moody's Analytics pada pertengahan Julai menerbitkan laporan Global Outlook Emerging Disparities. Laporan berkenaan menyebut bagaimana ekonomi global akan dalam masa terdekat melepasi paras tinggi pra-pandemik. Namun menurut Moody's Analytics, prestasi pemulihan adalah tidak sekata hasil sokongan dan vaksinasi yang tidak sekata antara ekonomi utama dan ekonomi membangun lain. Ia menjangka KDNK Global akan meningkat kepada 5.5% pada 2021 berbanding penguncupan 3% 1.7% pada 2020. Bagi kawasan Asia Pasifik, pemulihan adalah berdasarkan negara yang berjaya kawal penularan dan vaksin berbanding negara yang ketinggalan dalam bidang ini. Dalam masa yang sama, negara dengan polisi vaksin dan kawalan penjarakan yang baik dijangka memasuki 2021 dengan baik, dengan ancaman ataupun biarpun di tengah ancaman penularan varian Delta. Dan untuk membincangkan berkenaan dengan ketidaksamarataan dalam pemulihan ini dan juga ancaman peningkatan varian Delta di Malaysia dan juga Asia Tenggara, kita bersama pakar ekonomi kanan APAC Moody's Analytics, Katrina L. Katrina, thank you for joining us. Now, many richer countries are expected to register much better GDPs in the third quarter of 2021. This has been supported by the many fiscal and monetary measures and increasing vaccination rates. But what about countries in Southeast Asia that are now struggling to contain the resurgence of the COVID-19 cases?
Sure. I mean, that's a really good point. And we are really concerned about what's happening in Southeast Asia. I mean, we're seeing the Delta variant really sweep through the region, and it's causing significant pain to economies. And it's really halting their economic recoveries, which is particularly concerning. I mean, in Indonesia, they're recording in excess of 30,000 cases officially each day. In Malaysia, we're seeing, you know, around 12,000 to 13,000 new cases each day. And, you know, that's combined as well with the low vaccination rates that are being recorded throughout the region as well, which means that the health outcomes are tend to be more severe when the population isn't highly vaccinated. So what that means is that the economies are struggling with additional lockdown measures, and that's really suppressing domestic demand throughout Southeast Asia, which is particularly concerning given that they're already struggling prior to this flare-up in cases, and now it's an additional barrier for their economic recovery.
Speaking of economic recovery, how will this diverging economic recovery between the US, Europe or richer countries and Asia impact the global supply and demand chain?
Mm-hmm. So what we're seeing is the likely main impact of the diverging recoveries. So we're seeing that on the one hand, the US and Europe, their economic recoveries are really gathering strength, and they're not being derailed by additional lockdown measures that we're seeing in Asia, particularly in Southeast Asia. And so as these economic recoveries in the US and Europe are really maturing, mm-hmm. What we're going to see is that export demand for goods, which has really been an important tailwind for Southeast Asia, is likely going to peter off. And then we're going to see that the US and Europe are going to increase their demand for services. And so that means that, Asia, particularly Southeast Asia, isn't going to receive that same support that they've received, because they won't have that continued upbeat export channel that they've received, late 2020 and early 2021.
Katrina, let's delve deeper. How is the Delta variant affecting the economic outlook for countries in Southeast Asia? Can these countries, Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, the Philippines, including and these countries, bear the effects of future lockdowns if that is on the table?
Mm-hmm. So just to give you an example, I mean, in the case of Indonesia, mm-hmm. we've already downwardly revised our forecast for Indonesia's GDP growth this year from plus 5% down to 4.5%, and further downward revisions are likely. And we're likely going to do that as well for Malaysia, Thailand, even the Philippines, because they're not able to, get a good grip on their on the local infections. And so because of the subsequent lockdowns that they're having to introduce, then that's really hurting and suppressing the economic recoveries that we were seeing.
But are these countries still able to announce further fiscal and monetary stimulus? Can they continue to assist businesses and their people if they have to announce more lockdowns in the future?
So what we're expecting is that fiscal stimulus is really going to continue doing the heavy lifting for these economies if they do go into further lockdowns, because we have seen that monetary stimulus was really released for most of these economies at the height of the pandemic globally. So that was, around early to mid 2020. And so going forward, You know, monetary stimulus is kind of more limited, and so fiscal stimulus is what's needed going forward. But we do know that, you know, in countries like Indonesia, Malaysia, you know, they are kind of at the fiscal, traditional fiscal limits. So, you know, we might see that if Malaysia needs to, you know, offer further fiscal stimulus, there might be debt ceiling increases. You know, in Indonesia, they might, they will likely record bigger deficits, given that they need that additional fiscal support to really put a cushion and a floor under further falls in domestic demand as they grapple with these elevated infection numbers.
Mm-hmm. And Katrina, you mentioned the revision of the Indonesian GDP numbers. How will this new resurgence of COVID-19 cases affect the investments and productivity in countries in Southeast Asia? Will they still be, or will this country still be able to attract investment this year?
So it really depends. I mean, this is an incredibly uncertain and also fast-moving situation. And so if these economies are able to surprise on the upside and contain COVID infections quite effectively and then start to really reopen their economies and also get their vaccination rates quite substantially higher, then we will see that they will again become a more attractive destination for foreign investment and, you know, a more, you know, stable environment for local businesses to thrive. But until that they do get those local infection numbers under control and, you know, lockdowns and social distancing measures aren't a continued feature of everyday economic life, then they will struggle on that front.
But what about inflationary pressure? Will there be any of that in these countries?
So from a demand side, we're not expecting to see much substantial inflation pressures because, you know, at the end of the day, these countries are in lockdown. Mm-hmm. We're seeing that household consumption is being quite muted. You know, business activity is muted as well. Broader economic sentiment is also subdued. And so from a demand side of view, you know, we would expect to see inflation pressures quite subdued. So we're not expecting that, you know, inflation will be a material problem for central banks in the next 6 months.
Katrina, after more than a year of dealing with the pandemic, what is the best approach to balance life versus livelihood? Because I think we've seen how countries in the West deal with it and how countries in Southeast Asia, in Asia, are dealing with it right now. Is there the best approach or a best approach to balancing lives versus livelihood?
I mean, that's a really difficult question, and we're seeing countries not just in Asia, but more broadly across the globe really struggle with that difficult balance. And what we're seeing, though, is that, you know, a prudent approach to go forward is to increase vaccination rates. And we do know that if a population is fully vaccinated or, you know, is at least 50 to 60% vaccinated, then that does improve health outcomes. And so it does reduce the need for economies to go into severe lockdown measures. And if we're being able to avoid severe lockdowns, then the economic outcomes do improve and recoveries aren't derailed or paused. And so that's an important way through vaccination that we can improve economic outcomes and sort of balance livelihoods with the health outcomes.
But some countries are still struggling to get access to vaccines. How will they fare this year?
I mean, that's a really good question. And so what we're hoping is that vaccine supplies will continue to improve. I mean, we've seen Malaysia's vaccination rate has improved to around 15% of the population being fully vaccinated. And we have seen other countries in Southeast Asia with their numbers climb as well, which is really positive. But those supply constraints are an ongoing concern. And if these economies aren't able to secure sufficient supply vaccines, then that will be an ongoing thorn really in the side of these economic recoveries, being able to gain sustained momentum.
And finally, Moody's Analytics is expecting the global economy to grow by 5.5% this year. This is against the contraction of about 3.7% in 2020. Will there be a revision of these numbers, perhaps looking at how things are going right now?
So what a key driver of that forecast for global GDP growth is around the strength of the US economy. Also, we're seeing the European economy gather steam as well, and also China's economic recovery is on track as well. So while Southeast Asia and the downside risks that Southeast Asia does pose, on a global perspective, it's unlikely to cause a material downward revision to global GDP growth at this stage, particularly given the strength of the US, European and China's economy as well.
On that note, we thank you very much, Katrina L, pakar ekonomi kanan APEC untuk Moody's Analytics membincangkan berkenaan dengan pertumbuhan dan juga bagaimanakah varian Delta pada ketika ini memberikan kesan kepada pemulihan negara-negara di Asia Tenggara termasuk Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand dan juga the Philippines. Dan kita juga membincangkan berkenaan dengan bagaimana vaksin boleh memberikan dan juga membantu pemulihan dan juga pertumbuhan di negara-negara ini. Kami akan teruskan perbincangan tersebut dalam buletin-buletin awani akan datang. Kita akan berehat seketika kembali selepas ini.